Accession number 20456, Reel 20.
Brigadier Wilson, Reel 20. What happened when you got into contact with the American 187th Airborne Regiment?
It was a bit of a mixed-up performance. We had set off from Pyongyang in the afternoon, and my company was leading, and all we knew was that there had been a parachute drop in front of us. We managed to get down this country road quite happily, and then ran into some snipers, which we cleared, and a patrol managed to contact the company of 187, which was holding this small village.
What was the countryside like north of Pyongyang,
that area? It was cultivated, a lot of apple and pear trees, not very high, rather pretty for countryside, really, and with one or two small features, which obviously were tactically important.
What sort of positions had these snipers taken up?
They were hiding up the trees, you know. And in fact, the next day, the Australians had a great shoot when they passed through 187 and shot them out of the trees, they said, like turkeys.
Were these Koreans?
These were North Koreans. Mm. These were the remains of a North Korean regiment.
Did they do you any damage with their sniping?
No. No, the damage was done. There was quite a battle. The night we contacted them, there was this village in between us. They were holding the far end of the village, the northern end, and we were holding the southern end. And there was a crossroads in that village, and down the crossroads came North Koreans in a big way, and they had one hell of a fight on that night. And I had two chaps hit on patrol, and in some ways it was a bit dodgy because you didn't know who was who. We were not in touch with them, as far as I remember, by wireless, the brigade might have been, and not till the next morning were we actually really in touch with what was going on.
When you say you were attacked during the night in the village, were you dug in the village or?
No. We were outside the village. Yes, we dug very hastily. We dug the trenches. Yes. And there were North Korean patrols sort of whizzing around the place. And as I say, you had to be very careful, didn't they, whether they were Americans, North Koreans, us, who? We didn't have much of an engagement, the Americans did.
So you didn't catch the full force of their
attack? No, we didn't. No, we were lucky that way.
You mentioned your patrols were out. What sort of patrols did you send out?
Oh, they were sort of 4 or 5 men patrols. The first patrol to contact them went in from battalion, not from my company, but they went in on a couple of jeeps, if I remember rightly. But that was in the late evening, and then they came back again.
Were these patrols intended to be security patrols? Or
no, they were really intended to find out what was going on, you know, where these boys were.
Reconnaissance patrols?
Yes.
How far forward did you send them?
Well, they were, I suppose there was, thinking back now, a mile and a half between us, occupied by the huts of this village.
So you were pushing forward and probing?
Yes. But come night, we withdrew to our own perimeter. And in the meantime, all hell was being let loose with the parachutists.
How far away and what direction were they? Were they ahead of you?
They were north of us. Mm. They jumped at Sakchon and Sanchon. And there is a story that they didn't have a medical team to jump with them. But the Indians were there, who were parachute trained under the great Colonel Lingard. And quite unofficially, the Indians produced a parachute team to jump in, because they weren't supposed to do it. But they did, and the Americans were very grateful for that.
You had a rough night, plenty of sound.
Oh yes, it was a disturbed night, yes it was. And the next morning, I was ordered to go through the village and clear it and make proper contact with the parachute company. And I'm afraid I took that order rather literally, and we burnt that bloody village to the ground, with the result it went up so well that none of our supporting weapons could get through for a time. I was given the imperial displeasure by the brigade commander.
For
well, for setting the bloody thing on fire. But anyway, otherwise it was another way of getting a cyber out of it.
How big was this village? What sort of area?
It was a pitting little area. difficult to say now.
You were describing the village to me. You were
yes. I suppose it was about half a mile long, you know, nothing very much.
What sort of buildings were in it?
Oh, wood. Typical Korean wooden houses. I mean, they went up very nicely.
What did you use to set them alight?
Oh, we had smoke bombs. They're very good at setting things alight.
Do you have any idea of how many enemy there were actually in the village when you...
I don't think there were many. I think they'd turned out by daylight. Mm. What had happened was, I'm told, that the parachutists had intercepted a North Korean regiment retreating and had bumped them, you know. Yeah.
So a few of them had been left in the...
Well, no, they mostly retired to north of the parachutists, and the Australians then went through and had the most tremendous shoot-up in apple orchards, sort of carrying them out of it.
Were there any civilians around?
There might have been. The trouble was, in those days, that you got North Korean soldiers rapidly discarding themselves their uniform, and who were they? Mm. Yeah.
So
not many. It was pretty deserted. I mean, I don't think many civilians would have stuck after the shooting that had gone on the night before.
Okay, so how long did it take to actually get this village sorted out? And
oh, an hour.
So the enemy was smoked out of the village.
Yes.
And was this a company operation?
That was a company operation. Then the battalion went through, yes.
What did the company do? Did you follow on the rest of the battalion, or were you still...
I think we followed on the rest of the battalion. Mm. Then we sort of got into an assembly area north of the village. The parachutists assembled themselves and shot off somewhere back to their main battalion, and the Australians took over the advance.
You say in the memoirs that the Royal Australian Regiment passed through, and then they went on. Did the rest of the brigade carry on moving forward, or were you...
Once the Australians had cleared, yes, they did. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What sort of position had the Americans been in when they were there? Had they got it sorted out? And
oh, yes, I mean, they dug themselves in a big way. Mm.
Were they on high ground or...
No, they were on a sort of... At the end of the village, there was a feature, a small hill, and they held that.
Did you see them as they were pulling out?
Yes.
What sort of impression did they make on you?
They're good soldiers, and these were their airborne soldiers were very good.
Were they in good shape?
Yes, great shape. Well, they had fought a very successful night operation. They'd done exactly what they were supposed to do, was to block the North Korean escape route.
So they were happy.
What?
They were happy.
They were very happy with themselves. Yes.
What happened to you then? So you relieved the Americans, they pulled out, Australians went through.
Went on. What the hell did the Middlesex do? I can't remember. Mm. We sort of edged our way up the road towards Pyongyang.
Yeah.
I think we were about 30 miles south of Pyongyang when all this happened. We were almost halfway between. Sorry. 30 miles south of Songju. Where was it? We crossed the Nektong. I can't remember that. We closed up to the Chongchong River.
What sort of feature was that?
It was a big river. And the Middlesex crossed it.
Was that an assault crossing or a...
It had a fairly easy crossing, if I remember rightly. I've got Tony Fairhawker's official history here. It's all described in there very well.
Did you actually see them going across?
No. We were a bit too far behind.
But you were still on the road pushing?
We were sort of in an assembly area waiting for them to cross. And we got across, and then we took the lead again and were ordered to Chongju, which is about the furthest point north or northwest we reached. And that was where, in an Australian attack, their colonel was killed, Green.
Do you know what happened to him?
It was dreadful. He was with an air group, and a tank shell burst in a tree, smack on top of him.
Sounds like bad luck.
It was absolute bad luck. It really was. I mean, they killed him instantly. A stray shot. We had a bit of trouble getting there. The Koreans had left sort of individual T-34 tanks in ambush positions, but luckily our spotter plane saw them before we came in contact with them, and we were able to call down airstrikes on them and knock them out before they actually engaged us.
T-34s in ambush. What sort of positions would those be? Would they be dug in?
They'd be very carefully. You had in the Korean paddy fields little hamlets, and they would hide themselves in these by the side of the road, hoping to catch you as you came down the road.
What sort of distance from the road would they be?
400, 500 yards. Point blank range, but in Nelly.
Do you think you would have been able to spot them from the road before they opened fire?
Well, luckily, no, we didn't have to, because luckily the air did. I mean, I think one of them shot us up, but didn't do any harm.
What sort of spotter aircraft were you using?
I think the Americans called them an L-5, little fixed-wing, high-wing monoplane.
Sounds like rather like an Auster.
Very like an Auster. Very like an Auster, yeah.
What aircraft were used for airstrike? Were these American aircraft?
They're entirely American. These were, were they F-80s? They were the first jet fighters that they had.
We had the Meteor, didn't we?
The Meteor we hardly saw. The Meteor wasn't much use in Korea.
Yeah.
This was. I think they were called F-80s. Yeah, I think so. It was before the real American fighter aircraft came in later on. The ones they were lovely ones.
When the Americans launched these air attacks on the tanks, What sort of numbers did they employ? Were they
probably a couple.
Group, so they were attacking in pairs?
Yes, they were patrolling in pairs, and the spotter plane would call them down, and the spotter plane would mark the tank with a rocket. Which was a sort of rocket left a trail behind it so they could see. It was very, very efficiently done.
You say they were on patrol in pairs. Does this mean they were on a sort of cab rack system?
I suppose you could say that. They were sort of on a... how can I put it? Permanent cab rack above the Advance, yes. Can I just turn that heat on thing?
Do you know what sort of weapons the aircraft were using against the tanks? Rocketing them?
They were rockets. What type of rocket, I don't know.
If you needed air support, how would you go about getting it?
Well, this was it. We had an air liaison officer with American US Air Force with brigade headquarters. So you got to hold a brigade headquarters, and that was the only... I did not have a personal air controller with me as a company commander, once company commander.
So you'd have to call brigade?
Yes.
Presumably you'd have to go through a battalion to get to brigade?
That's correct.
So you'd call brigade. You'd call battalion. Battalion would call brigade.
Yes.
Brigade would call the aircraft.
That's it, yeah.
Did you ever actually call them in personally?
Yes.
How long would it take to get them actually overhead?
Well, of course, they were overhead before I called them.
Yeah.
You know.
So what sort of response time would you get?
Well, very quick. But basically speaking, most of the calling in was done by the spotter aircraft.
Yes. Did you have any contact with the spotter?
Brigade did, not me.
Brigade.
No.
So the Koreans have got tanks in ambush on the road. They were dealt with, they were sorted out.
Yes.
What happened then next? Did you get up?
Well, we got as far as a place called Chongju.
Yes.
Where the Australians came forward and put in an attack, and that was when Colonel Green was killed. Mm. Got Chongju, and then the Americans... Chongju was only 30 miles from the Yalu. And then the Americans passed a task force with tanks through us that same evening. And it got quite some way down the road, and then it was stopped, and I don't know why. And we were moved, very strange things happened, we were moved northwards to a horrid place called Taichung. Because there were beginning to be rumors of Chinese.
What was horrid about Taichung?
It was a nasty, isolated... I don't know what it was, a creepy place.
It was a bad atmosphere, though.
Yes, well, you see, we were out of contact with the Koreans, but there was a beginning of the rumors of Chinese, and the Middlesex were further north of us, a place which I can't remember, and they actually did shoot at some Chinese there. And the brigade was... the three battalions of us, we had no transport of our own. We were very much on a limb.
Who was supposed to provide your transport?
Americans.
So this was an independent transport regiment?
Well, they had their own transport companies, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What sort of deployment did you take up at Taichung? Were you in a stand?
We were in a sort of defensive position. There were two roads coming into Taichung, covering the two roads, yes, from the north.
What was the ground like?
Open, tolerably flat.
And your own locations, were you in buildings or...
The what?
Were you in buildings or in...
No, we were at him.
Open country?
Yeah.
Dug in?
Yes.
Were you in contact, physical contact with the Middlesex?
No. We were all our own.
How far away was Middlesex?
I think about 5 miles.
That's a large gap, isn't
it? I know. And we were...
Was the battalion entirely isolated?
Yes.
On its own in a battalion blob?
Yes. Yes. And I know, because I read it, if you could get hold of it, it's where at Stirling Castle there is Brigadier Aubrey Coad's personal report. Have you seen it?
No.
Well, this is his personal report. I think it's the chief of staff about all his operations and dealings with the Americans.
Yeah.
And the bit about Taichung and the goings on there and Kunu Rhee later on are fascinating.
And you say in your memoirs that the position at Taichung, what happened there, was unreal and upsetting.
Very upsetting. Yeah. Well, no one likes being on their own, not knowing what the hell's going to happen.
What were your orders then when you got...
Well, we didn't really have any. I mean, just sit there and hope. You know, maybe you'd have to stop anything coming down the road, if anything did come down the road.
What could you see looking northwards up the road?
Nothing. You know, just countryside.
Mm. Were there any locals about, or was it deserted?
It was rather deserted, that was another thing. It was the queerest place, you know, one had been in for a long time.
How long were you there before things...
Oh, thank heavens, only 24 hours.
So they were there for overnight, then?
Yes, yeah. Yes, yes.
Was there any activity during the night?
No. It was a sort of funny sort of silence, you know. Mm. A pregnant silence, I think, is what I would say.
How was it resolved, then?
Well, we were withdrawn, thank heavens. Suddenly, the order came, you know, pack up. Get on the lorries, and we drove backwards down towards Pachon.
What sort of trucks were you in?
Americans.
Yeah.
No, Dodge.
When you withdrew, did you do a tactical withdrawal, or was it an administrative?
No, we just bugged out, as I remember right.
On the trucks and drove.
Yes,
away.
Yes.
Mm. Okay, so you left Taichung. Was this the whole brigade, or just the...
Well, brigade? I don't know. You see, I didn't see from the time we left Chongju until we came together after at Pachon, I didn't see the rest of the brigade. We were sort of moved in blobs across the countryside.
Battalion?
Yes.
So was this just a drive back down the road?
It was a drive back down the road, yes.
What direction were you heading? Were you heading southwards?
What?
What direction were you going in?
Going south.
Going south. Mm. Where did you get to then, eventually?
Pachon.
What was that like? What happened there?
Pachon was... have you spare the paper? Because I think I can best draw it for you. It's very difficult to describe. I think. And here you had a sort of side river. I think it was a Tarryong, was it?
Flowing into the Chong Chong.
Yes. And here was a crossing, and there was a road, the main road going up north. Plus, there was some sort of bridge there, but I think it had been destroyed. That was road to Pyongyang. And there was a side road along the river back here. Also, there was the main railway line.
Running parallel to the main road.
Running parallel to the main road. Now, the brigade was deployed something like 10 miles up with the Middlesex and the Australians.
Yes. two battalions of the brigade to the north.
Three RAR.
Yes.
There was a sort of ridge of hills here.
They would be on the...
north there.
Yeah, so
and here was a encampment of Americans. Some tanks, some guns. It was not a formed unit. They were all rested. And here, I was in charge of looking after their perimeter. You had A Company there. And B and C Companies were here, the other side of the about 5 miles up.
So they were between the forward two battalions of the brigade.
That's it.
And the river.
That's it. What the hell they were doing there, I wasn't quite sure, but they were on the wrong side of the Tarion.
So they were across the tributary.
They were across the tributary.
And your company was actually holding the...
Down there, yes.
So it looks like you're a sort of bridge guard.
I was a sort of long stop for the brigade, yes.
You mentioned the Americans at this place. Roughly what sort of strength were they?
They were, I suppose, a company group. They had some guns, they had some tanks. The Chinese had come in like that. Because here was a bridge covered over the road, quite a reasonable one. I think they wanted to blow that culvert, because in which case they'd cut off.
They'd cut off your two forward battalions.
Yeah.
So the Chinese came in from the northeast.
Yes. The Chinese, way north, up here, was a place called Unsan. And I forget how many miles it was. On the sand, where the poor old 8th Cavalry got an absolute stick from the Chinese. And when we moved into Pak Chon, we could hear firing going on at On the sand. We didn't know it was On the sand, but we could hear that there was clearly something going on there.
Did you know at that time that it was the Chinese rather than the North Koreans?
No.
What sort of position were you able to create in this area that you were deployed in?
Well, there was a sort of quite a nice little circle of hills that one dug in, you know.
How long was your perimeter, do you think?
Very easily held perimeter, no problem.
Nicely placed.
Nicely placed. Couldn't be better.
Were you able to choose your own locations?
I chose my own.
What were the Americans actually doing? Did they have...
I'm not quite certain what they were doing there. I think they were there originally holding the sort of crossroads, as a sort of good place to hold it.
Had they got themselves dug in and sorted out?
Yes.
So you've got a two-company group here with... guns, tanks.
Yes, but we were the only, what I would call, formed body of infantry. I mean, you had tanks, you had cooks, you had motor transport, and who they belonged to, I don't know.
Who did you deal with when you were talking to them?
Well, there's rather a nice major chap.
Who was actually in command of this?
He was.
He was in command. Were you under command?
No. No. I was under command of the brigade. I was a long stop for the brigade and happened to coincide with these guys.
Hmm. So it's just a matter of chance that you were there at the same time?
Yes.
Had they been there for any length of time? Or
I wouldn't know. I suspect a couple of days at least.
What happened when the Chinese made this attack?
Well, they bypassed the Middlesex in Australia.